This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your first stop for festival style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into the store, just visit tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
On this episode of TFL Talking Trucks podcast, I have something very special for you because I'm once again on location. I'm in Coolidge, Arizona at the Nikola factory. Nikola produces battery electric semi-trucks and also now fuel cell electric semi-trucks like you see behind me. And I have two very special guests on this episode. I have Christian, who's the chief engineer of this truck, and also I have Mike, who can tell me more about the hydrogen fuel infrastructure, because you cannot really have a hydrogen truck without the way to fuel it. So let's hit it right off and go to Christian, learn everything possible about this truck. He's really the guy who knows all the systems. And then also talk to Mike. Can you please introduce yourself briefly?
Absolutely. My name is Christian Appel, and I'm the head of vehicle platform at Nikola.
So basically the chief engineer, is that fair to say, behind your all-electric semi-truck?
That's correct.
Okay, so let's just set the stage, right? Because people may not be aware, you know, what Nikola is.
Yeah.
So you've been working for many, many years.
Yes.
And you've been with the company for how long?
I've been working with Nikola since 2020. I took the role as the chief engineer, kicked off this program to this day now when we launched this product.
And this is the factory. I mean, you could see how big this place is.
Yeah.
And you're producing these trucks right now.
We're producing these trucks right now.
And delivering to customers.
And we are delivering, okay, still this quarter, the first trucks to the customers.
All right. And you have two versions.
That's
you
correct.
Have a BEV, so battery electric truck. So it's a semi-truck with battery capacity.
Yes.
And electric motor.
Yeah.
And you have this as well, which we're standing next to, which is a hydrogen fuel cell electric truck.
That is correct.
Okay. Let's focus on the hydrogens.
Absolutely.
Because yes. It's here, right?
And that's what today is about. We launched our battery electric truck last year already.
Yeah.
This year is about the fuel cell electric truck. We obviously had a lot of learnings from our battery electric truck and the development of that, as well as the, you know, rollout to the market and all of the experience that's coming back from the customers and the feedback. And all of that went into the development of the fuel cell electric truck.
So why do it? Why use a hydrogen fuel cell?
Trucking is a little bit different than passenger cars or even, you know, pickup trucks, because you need a lot of energy. You haul a lot of heavy loads.
Yes.
You know, 80,000 pounds federal limit. There's weight exempts that go up to 110,000 pounds, and you go long distance. And these things are tools. Ultimately, they're tools for transport, and they need to go the distance, and they need to be reliable. So, where our battery electric truck is very good for certain applications, when we're talking like metro distribution, short haul applications, there are limits when it comes to the range. And there's also an impact on payload as you put more and more batteries into this truck.
Mm-hmm.
For the fuel cell electric truck, this truck with its range of 500 miles is able to essentially cover almost all day cab missions that you see in class 8 applications. And with the range of 500 miles also comes less of a payload impact as compared to a battery electric truck.
And also this, refueling.
And the refueling.
Time.
Exactly. Yeah. Very glad you brought that up, because this really is the third piece of it. It's the payload, it's the range, but then it's refueling time. There's many applications where you see multiple shifts, two shifts applications, and the ports are often two shifts, and you need to rely on very quick range replenishment or fueling or charging. And with this truck, as it comes out now off our production facility, this truck is capable of fueling in 20 minutes or less. Okay. It always depends on the dispenser on the other side, obviously, but the truck itself is capable. And think about it, that's 20 minutes. That's a typical time you have in between shifts to refuel and go another 500 miles. We frequently go 900 miles on these single trucks during a day just because we can refuel so quickly.
That's incredible. So I want to demystify it, look inside of it. So this is a cab over truck.
That is a cab
over. So typically, that's the style of it, right? So it's not a traditional, you know, American style where you have a big hood here in the front. Why was that done?
So cab overs were very popular for a time in the US, but they pretty much went away.
But they're in Europe, right?
Ago. But they're all over Europe. And the reason is that Europe has very tight limitations, regulations when it comes to overall length and turning radius as well. So that's why in Europe you see essentially only these cab over flat nose trucks in a 4x2 configuration. And we had our partner Iveco that we started working with. We essentially took their platform of the S-Way, which they just brought to market in Europe, and we utilized this platform to develop our zero emission trucks. And we thought that this cab over architecture is actually a great approach for these zero emission trucks. Okay. And just because it went away for reasons of, you know, engine noise and vibration and discomfort does not mean that these trucks are not viable in the US. And that's what we see now. People that are getting in here, there is no engine rattling or noise or anything for the driver, because all we package under the cab is the fuel cell. So all of these disadvantages that people think of when they think of cab overs, you really don't have here.
Look, can we jump inside? Because I think visibility is also another point,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And that's coming to the advantages of a cab over architecture. Now, one of the, you know, maybe challenges or drawbacks is the steep climb. But once you're up there, you sit fairly high. And if you, you know, if you want to go up there and you see the view, so please.
Well, I have a CDL, so 3 points of contact.
That's absolutely right.
One, two, three.
And it's not really a heavy effort. But once you're in there, you tell me what you think. Your view is awesome.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I don't have a big hood in front of me,
exactly.
Right? So I can see my corners. You know, I can see around. I have big mirrors. Right, so I think that's another positive.
Absolutely. We have a front-facing camera as well and a rear-facing camera. So if there's any assistance that's required to check for obstacles, we have that too. But the maneuverability that you get with this truck is another advantage of this architecture and something that all of our drivers and all of our customers very much appreciate. As soon as they get into the truck and they're up there, they feel like a king, you know?
What?
It's very comfortable, very good vision, and very good maneuverability.
Why is that? Is that because of the wheelbase as well? Or is that how you cut the wheel? Is it a combination?
Yeah. It's a combination, absolutely right. We have a wheelbase that's fairly common, I would say, for day cabs. But with the cab over, again, first of all, you have the advantage of the visibility, but then also the way we designed our steering system and the cut-in is really class-leading.
All right. I kind of want to show the screens, but I did another video, which is a separate video where I actually drove the truck around your facility here, and I showed the gauges. So you have digital displays.
That's correct.
And so maybe let's leave that off for another time, but can we open this up?
Absolutely.
Can we transform it?
Absolutely.
Okay, so
I'm happy to tilt the cab.
Look underneath, right?
Yes, and look into the heart of the vehicle.
So what's the process here?
We're gonna just get the grill open. We have a centerpiece here and the little lower piece that we're gonna take out.
Well, before you tilt the cab further, this is a pretty giant radiator to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, what is this radiator doing?
Yes, so this radiator is for the fuel cell power module.
Okay.
So a fuel cell system is more efficient than a diesel engine. So you know, from that point of view, less heat rejection. But the difference is that in a fuel cell system, there's no combustion happening, right? It's a reaction, and all of the heat rejection goes into the cooling system, or most of it.
Okay.
Opposed to going into the exhaust system for the diesel truck.
Okay.
So that means the cooling system actually has to deal with a higher heat rejection than in the diesel truck.
Okay.
And that's why we have pretty massive radiators to cool the system. That was one of the changes we had to do coming from the battery electric model to the fuel cell electric model. We elongated the chassis,
okay,
and we did a whole new design of the grille and the bumper,
okay,
to make space for this radiator, and we came up with this mechanism to actually have a tilting radiator that tilts together with the cap, and we have the fan behind here as well to support the cooling system.
Is that fan cannot be found in a current, like a diesel-powered truck, or is that some other design for the fan?
Yeah. So the fan itself, it's actually an electrical fan.
Okay.
It's a high-voltage fan. Fairly high power, high voltage fan.
So it's not driven off the engine or anything like that.
It's typically driven by the engine. So that's a very different architecture.
Yeah.
It's all electrified in our model.
Of course, yeah. It makes total sense.
And the other advantage is there was really two reasons we did the new design and the elongation. One I just mentioned, to make space, create space for the radiator. But the other one was we could make a more aerodynamic design.
Mm-hmm.
And vehicle losses are important, right? Everyone tries to optimize for vehicle losses. So aerodynamics, rolling resistance. So with this new design, we were able to improve fuel economy
that
as well.
All right, that's really great. And I see like an air curtain. I see there's a passage here on the side, like an air curtain would be.
Very good observation. So we have these little features to optimize the aerodynamics of the truck.
Uh-huh.
So you will see some of those features. You see one on the cap here as well.
At the top,
reflector, and here on the side,
on the
A-pillar.
Yeah.
So those are all features to optimize the aerodynamics of the truck.
Sweet. All right, now let's tilt it, because we want to see underneath.
Let's tilt it, absolutely.
Okay.
So we have a feature in our HMI, a button that you need to press to be able to tilt the cap.
Okay.
You obviously don't want to have someone come up to the truck and being able to tilt it.
Yeah.
So it always needs to be switched on.
Enabled. The truck has to be alive, so to speak.
It has to be alive, and it has to be enabled. We have the user lock in to the truck, to the HMI system, mm-hmm, and then enable the cabin tilt.
Yeah. And of course, the brakes are engaged, all that stuff.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Kind of a holistic view of it.
Correct.
Right?
The parking brakes will always be engaged, and the truck is stationary and safe.
But when I was driving it, what I also liked, it was easy to understand. You know, there's a climate control system, there's a map, there's a diagnostic, there's a setting. I felt at home. I've never driven it before. Right? You know what I'm saying? But I felt like if you drive another modern vehicle, you can understand that.
Absolutely. And that was really one of the main targets we had for our HMI system, was make it intuitive. And I'm glad you're bringing that up, because it's really about the driver, right? And this is a tool. And we need to be aware that the driver is in this truck all day long. And what we try to do is, what we always aspire to do is, make this truck as comfortable as possible for the driver. So making the driving truck as easy as possible, because as a driver, you know, and I think you're a CDL holder, you're very well aware of that. There's so many things you need to do and you need to pay attention to. So let's make it as easy as possible on the driving part.
Yeah, and if your day
is comfortable as possible.
If your day is easier, then you know you would want to work again, right? Next day.
And that becomes something actually for in these, you know, area of driver shortage that we're experiencing. This becomes important, because drivers can choose for what fleet they're working for. And you know, they might choose a fleet that has our truck, our comfortable and easy to drive truck, mm-hmm, over another fleet, right? And I think that's a big plus as well when it comes to driver retention.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right, so what's underneath? So the cab is now open.
The cab is open, and in place of where you would see a diesel engine in European cab over trucks, we have the fuel cell power module.
Okay.
So this consists of two fuel cell systems, fuel cell stacks with a dedicated balance of plant. So all of the auxiliary components that are required to operate the fuel cell system, such as the electric air compressor. Each of those units has an output of 100 kilowatt, or 135 horsepower, for a total of 200 kilowatt, 270 horsepower, and that is the net power. So that's already subtracting all of the auxiliary power that's needed to
operate. But it doesn't drive the wheels. That's just the fuel cell, correct?
Right. So the fuel cell, what it does is, it takes hydrogen on the one side and air, compressed air on the other, and then through the chemical reaction to water or water vapor, you have the electrons that then create the electrical potential and ultimately the electrical power that we then take off this power distribution unit here on the side on each stack and then go through a DC-DC converter into the vehicle. Because the fuel cell has a different voltage level when it's running than the battery pack, we use a DC-DC converter to get the output of the fuel cell adjusted to the battery voltage level.
And you have, is that lithium ion batteries there in the frame?
That's correct.
Okay.
We have two battery packs, 82 kilowatt hours each, 164 kilowatt hours total, and that's really required to support the regenerative braking and also the more dynamic operation of the truck. So the fuel cell system, the battery packs, the electric drive axle, and all of these other auxiliary components, they essentially sit on a common high voltage system, or you could say a high voltage rail. And so in any given moment in time, with a given driver request, the fuel cell could power the e-axle and charge the battery, or the battery could help and assist the fuel cell system to provide power to the drive axle.
Okay. And we'll talk about drive axle in a second.
Yes.
But you said air compressor. Can you show me that? Is this on the other side?
So there's, we can see it better from the other side.
Yeah. I was looking at this earlier.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a turbocharger.
And that's essentially what it is.
So you have a turbocharger.
Yes. That's more or less what it is, right?
Okay.
And so you have the air compressor here, and then for the other system. So this is a very high power air compressor. Very high RPM to compress the air that we take in from here.
From the top, top.
Here, it's actually this one here.
Yeah, on the side.
This on the side. And then we go down and we have an air filter box that then provides the air through those hoses over there and into the air compressor, compress the air, and then push it into the fuel cell stack.
Okay. Wow. Okay, so there's a lot going on here. But this is still a semi-truck, right?
Still
so it has to have, let's talk about a little bit about steering, suspension, and brakes, because it has to have a lot of redundant systems, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It has to have the steering, it has to have the brakes.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about those components.
Yeah. So we use, we work with very common suppliers in this field on the steering and brake system.
Okay.
For the brake system, we work with ZF Wabco, and we use an electronic braking system, EBS3, that's more common in Europe, but has a little bit more features than you would see typically in the US systems.
Okay.
And we, together with them, developed the interface for this electric powertrain, battery electric or fuel cell electric, to have the brake system actively work with the electric powertrain in terms of regenerative braking, torque reduction, and so on. For the steering system, we also work with a electro-hydraulic system. Mm-hmm. So we have electric assist here. We're working with Bosch Automotive Steering on the electric steering system. But again, very common components that you would typically have in any other Class A diesel truck.
Okay. And it's really easy to steer. I mean, I mean, this is a big... How much does the tractor weigh approximately for the fuel cell?
The fuel cell tractor approximately weighs 26,200 pounds.
Okay.
So we're still a little heavy compared to
a diesel day cab tractor.
But this is something we continue to work on. And there's a lot of optimizations that we have already identified to get that weight down. So that will be one of the next steps that we will take in, try to reduce weight, along obviously with cost and so on.
So like I was just talking to my friend Dan, who drives a diesel truck for a living, and he said, you know, his long haul truck weighs around 20,000 pounds. So obviously weight is very important for because it's your job, right?
Correct. And it cuts into your payload. Yes.
Yeah. And but for electric vehicles, it's about 82,000 pounds regulation currently.
Right.
So the regulations are changing slightly to allow a little bit more weight so you can offset kind of the weight of this truck. Is that fair to say?
That's correct. Yeah. Okay. We have a federal exemption for battery electric trucks, actually, not yet for fuel cell trucks, for 82,000 pounds.
Okay.
But then there's state exemptions that also apply to fuel cell trucks, for example, in California or Arizona, that we can use the same 82,000 pounds. And there are efforts to also increase that to make up for the extra weight in the tractor.
Yeah.
But again, it will be coming from two sides, right? One is give extra weight allowance to the fleets, but the other side is to just continue the development and get this weight of these zero emission tractors down. And this really is our first generation of a fuel cell electric truck. The second generation will be much lighter.
Yeah, makes sense. All right, let's keep moving back. Oh, the backpack.
Very important,
You called it the backpack.
We call it the backpack.
Okay.
The backpack has these three hydrogen tanks, type 4 hydrogen storage vessels.
Yeah.
We have three here, two on the saddle locations on each side.
Okay.
Each hold 14 kilograms, usable. That's 70 kilograms on the vehicle level. They're connected to a common manifold that then connects on the one hand side to the filling nozzle.
Okay.
And then on the other side is providing the hydrogen supply to the fuel cell system. That you would see that on the other side.
We can walk around if we need to. I want to, so like you said, five total tanks.
Yes.
Talk to me about, first of all, the vehicle safety and also the system safety a little bit more. Because I think a lot of people have questions about that.
So safety was front and center in our development of this truck and the testing. So let's start with hydrogen safety. These tanks, first of all, on the component level, are designed to be safe. There's a lot of testing that goes into that, including ballistic testing, drop testing, overpressure testing, pressure cycle testing combined with extreme temperatures, engulfing fire testing. And there's many then systems around that that we develop to make it even more safe on a system level. We develop, together with the supplier, a fire protective coating to withstand fire, engulfing fire even longer. We have thermally activated pressure relief valves to allow venting. As soon as we detect, there's actually engulfing fire of the vessel, then we trigger those and we vent. And some of them vent to the top, and hydrogen is lighter than air. So it all goes away and you create a safe environment fairly quickly.
Okay.
And then we have some vents going down here, but always away from where it can be any danger, for example, to people around it. We also have a crash detection system as part of this truck, and that uses the same technology as an airbag, so it will detect a crash in a split second and then also make the vehicle safe as possible, meaning we close the valves or if it requires it, we vent, and we also activate pyrofuses on the high voltage system to get high voltage out of the truck as soon as possible. We develop the whole structure as well for crash so that we can, you know, absorb the energy from the crash. And there's many more systems in terms of safety. A lot of that is industry practice when it comes to high voltage safety. Mm-hmm. For example, isolation monitoring, high voltage interlock systems, and many, many more on a software level that we monitor the system at all times and have diagnostics and reactions appropriate to ensure the safety of not only the driver, but also everyone around.
Yeah, and I was walking through your production facility here, building facility, and I saw people putting like a front bumper section on the front of the vehicle because you want to be, you know, mindful of the other vehicles around you, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Let's, what about like jackknife safety or for potential of a trailer coming around?
Yeah, great to bring that up. I mean, first of all, we are preventing jackknifing as good as possible by the control system we have.
Okay.
So a brake and the powertrain, we try and control that this would never happen. If it happens, this was one of our crash tests that we developed actually in our standard, where we said, okay, in a jackknifing situation, you can actually have an impact on the backpack here at an angle. And that became one of our test cases we looked at, and we ensured to design the backpack in a way that you wouldn't impact any of the valves or the critical lines to create a hydrogen leak.
Okay, and here we're looking at the air glad hands as well, and you have a primary and secondary air systems like a normal semi
truck.
Correct,
just like a normal truck.
Okay,
and
so you have
also
redundancy there as well.
Yeah.
Now the batteries are living here in the center component, right?
Correct.
In this one.
Correct. There's hydrogen tanks here on the sides, and then the battery, which is really, in some extent, maybe the most fragile part of this truck, that lives in the center line.
Okay, and then let's talk about the e-axle. So,
yes.
What is the power output of this unit?
So, the power output of the axle itself is 480 kilowatts continuous, or 645 horsepower, and that's what we use it with this rating in our battery electric truck. For the fuel cell electric truck, we downgraded that power a little bit just because it was almost too much power. And it hurts
like
efficiency.
Spinning the tire, right?
Correct. And you have, you know, tire wear. So we wanted to control that more. We also wanted to make sure we have better efficiency, right? So in this truck, we operate the axle at 400 kilowatt, which is 536 horsepower, which is still plenty of power for this application. And then that's only the continuous power. The peak power still goes above 700 horsepower if you ever require that for a passing maneuver or on an on-ramp situation.
But it's, I mean, I saw some videos. I haven't pulled the trailer up a mountain, but you can maintain speed limit speeds. For example, to Flagstaff, is that fair to say?
Yeah. So
from Phoenix to Flagstaff.
We were able to, with our battery electric truck, but that always comes with a hit and disadvantage on the fuel economy and the range, right? You can hold speeds actually pretty steadily up there.
Okay.
For the fuel cell electric truck, we're a bit more limited, but again, that comes also with ensuring the range and the fuel economy.
Okay.
So the truck is a little bit more managing the energy flows. But when you're referring to Flagstaff, I just did that drive myself last week up to Flagstaff, turned around, back down, stopped for lunch and my mandatory break, all in one go, all in one fueling. And that was with 82,000 pounds. You know, and I was comfortable to keep up with the speeds that it
diesel
trucks are going up there.
What is that round trip? It's like 300 miles or more?
No, it's 430 miles.
Oh, to your facility here?
Yes, to our facility here in Coolidge.
Oh, I
so
see.
So that was a 430 mile round trip roughly. And it was, I think I started the day with like 90% fuel, 92% fuel. And that was enough to get me back here. So.
Gotcha. So this middle axle is powered. This
Correct.
Is a tag axle.
That's that is a tag axle. So it's a 6x2 drivetrain architecture, which is more common in the US, a 6x4. But the one advantage we have towards maybe other 6x2s that you're used to is we have an electrically controlled air suspension. And that is actively controlled to always load the drive axle first. So as you have load on your fifth wheel, what the system does is it adjusts the air pressure to load the drive axle first and ensure that you have all of the traction you want on the drive axle before it starts loading the tack axle.
Okay.
And so in most situations, the only exception is very extreme, very low friction traction scenarios where you maybe want to have all 8 tire patches versus 4. But any other normal situation, this will perform, you know, as good or better than a 6x4 diesel truck out there.
I see. All right. And of course, I mean, you could move the fifth wheel location, you know, all that stuff to
Absolutely.
Readjust
and
your
we have,
length.
We've shipped trucks with sliding fifth wheels as well, which is pretty common. Again, not as necessary for us because we have the actively controlled suspension, but still something that some of the customers want.
And when I was driving it, I saw on the screens inside, you estimate the weight.
Yes.
Of each axle, right?
Yes.
Is that with height sensors?
That's with some of the pressure sensing that's going on.
Okay, so how much pressure is in the bag, so you can kind of estimate that.
Yeah.
Well, that's really good because you have an idea about your load before you get to the scale,
absolutely,
for example.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
That's probably wrapping up the most important aspect of this truck.
I want to finish on this point, serviceability, right?
Yes.
Because I think it's very important, because it's a cost of ownership, right?
Absolutely.
It's not just a vehicle.
Absolutely.
By the way, you're not currently publishing the price of this truck.
No.
I was asking because it depends fleet by fleet.
Correct.
Right?
It all goes through our dealer network, so ultimately the dealer makes the contract and the price with our fleet customers, and then it always depends on the order size and many other aspects of it.
Okay.
Also depends on the states. There's lots of incentives that are being offered in various states, so it is always very individual what the pricing will be, as you have it today in the industry, very common.
Yeah, but it's fair to say, I mean, this is the first generation of the truck. Whenever you have a first generation of the brand new technology, it's going to be a bit more expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
But what about maintenance? Can you hit that point quickly?
So most important, and it's not going to be a lot compared to the diesel truck. I mentioned the air filters, right, for the air inlet system. They're here behind these panels. It will take you probably 15 seconds to get those off and then have access to the air filter boxes to be able to change them. You have full access here to the fuel cell system. And the only other item for maintenance would be the ion exchangers and the fuel cell cooling loop. And then you have other items in the cab, like cabin air filters, obviously tire wear, brake wear, and so on. But that's really,
most
of it. Yeah.
I really appreciate it, Christian.
I appreciate it. It was a pleasure meeting you, taking the time here.
I know I took a lot of your time.
Today. No, I'm very happy to spend the time with you.
I appreciate it. Well, I cannot wait to actually get it on the highway. Maybe eventually I'll do it.
Yeah, I hope you will.
I appreciate
it. Thank you so much.
And now I'm here with Mike. Thanks, Mike, for your time.
Thank you. Pleasure to meet you.
And, Hyla, can you first introduce the Hyla brand? Because it's about energy. Right, you have the vehicles, you got the beautiful Nikola trucks, but then they also, you have a battery electric one using electricity, and now you have a hydrogen fuel cell one, but you need the fueling infrastructure.
That's right.
So this is why this is here.
Yes. Yeah, so as a truck manufacturer, if you're going to come out with a new energy source like hydrogen, you're going to have to bring the energy infrastructure with it. And Nikola realized that early in the process, that we were going to have to also develop the hydrogen infrastructure in order to support our customers. Otherwise, it's going to be pretty hard to sell somebody a truck, right?
Yeah.
And so that's part of what we do here at Nikola, and that's what the Hyla brand represents.
Okay.
Hyla is the energy component within the Nikola organization that sources the hydrogen, will transport the hydrogen to the various locations, and will prepare all fueling solutions for our customers at the end of the day.
All right, so, and you work with many partners as well, so you're working on, hard locations, truck stops and locations for charging and filling up with hydrogen, but we're looking at some mobile units as well.
Correct.
So can you explain to me, let's step back a little bit and take a look, just explain this to me.
Yeah, so this is part of our interim solution, really. And so when you're developing as a truck manufacturer, we're going to have a lot of trucks being sold into different areas. In the early days, you're probably going to see a lot of customers that are going to buy 5, 6, 10, 12, 50 trucks. But you're probably going to have situations where they're all going to be in kind of different groupings, different areas. And so we needed a flexible solution to provide hydrogen solutions to our customers.
It takes time to build truck stops, right, and other solutions.
That's exactly
right?
It. If we build a permanent station, it's upwards of 2 years to fully develop that station out and get that station operational. Where with these units, these have been a couple years in development, but now at this point, we've got a lot of these coming off the line with a lot of our partners, and we're able now to go deploy these very quickly. So where we have a situation where we have a new customer, and that new customer wants to take 5, 20, 30 trucks in a specific geographic location, what we're able to do is provide them an interim solution until we build out that permanent station. So it allows our customers to move very quickly. And we can have one of these permitted in a location close to where they need to be. And in most cases, we look to, you know, to synergize between multiple customers and put it in kind of a central location so that we can get more density to the mobile feeler. Mm-hmm. But as we do that, what we want to be able to do is get it there very quickly, very rapidly. And so we can usually get one of these in place, get it fully permitted, get it operating in place in about 3 months. You can't do that with a permanent station. So that's one of the biggest advantages of this. This is our interim solution in the early days.
Makes huge sense. So these big trucks, they have about 70 kilogram capacity.
Correct.
So I'm still new to hydrogen. Fuel cells and hydrogen fuels. So 70 kilograms is just kind of the capacity of this truck that provides, you guys are stating, about 500 miles of driving, you know, with a truck.
Correct.
And load. So how many trucks can you support with this?
With this particular unit here, this has about 1,000 kilograms of hydrogen on board. It's liquid hydrogen. And so we can basically support anywhere from, you know, 10 to upwards of getting close to 20 trucks in a day with this particular unit before you have to refill it again.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. And what about the time? Let's walk around a little bit because you have an actual dispenser here.
We do.
Yeah.
We do.
Let's show that. Because I'm wondering about also the refueling time, right? And how long it takes.
Yeah. So the dispenser looks very much like what you're used to seeing
looks
today.
Looks like a diesel pump.
It looks like a diesel or a gasoline pump. It's very much the same. You're going to see the same kind of information, sale price, kilograms, and everything else. Very simplistic system. And so it's the same sort of thing that you have today.
Okay.
So most customers are pretty comfortable with this type of a situation.
Sure.
So they can hook it up with the nozzle, and then they can turn the system on, and it'll then operate. Usually what we see in this style of truck is about, most of our customers today are using about 40 kilograms per day on average.
Okay.
And a fill like that is about 20 to 25 minutes with this particular unit.
Okay.
To get that 40 kilograms in, about 20 to 25 minutes.
Well, that's reasonable time. You know, that's like a rest break, restroom break, whatever.
It's very close to diesel times for this style of Class A truck today.
Okay, and you have something else. Can we walk over here?
Yep. So this was developed internally by us at Nikola. This is our first Hyla mobile fueler.
Okay.
And so what we did is we developed four of these units. Okay. This one's a little different than this one. You can see that this has quite a bit larger footprint.
All right, so let's step on this side.
And it will also have a gaseous trailer, supply trailer, that'll be parked beside it when it's in operation.
Okay.
So what it does is it takes the gaseous supply, it will bring it through the chilling system that's up at the front here.
Okay.
It's this large chiller that's here. Yeah, it'll take it through this chilling system.
Okay.
And then what it'll do is it'll compress the hydrogen up to over 700 bar so that it can be dispensed into the truck and fill the truck at 700 bar.
Okay. So it's another solution, very similar to the liquid solution we just saw.
Correct.
But just a slightly different process.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I understand the hydrogen is the most common element in the universe.
Yes.
You would agree?
I agree.
It also
most abundant element on Earth.
Most abundant element, but it also combines with everything. It likes to be combined as, you know, it looks like water.
It's not on its own naturally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what you have to do is you have to extract the hydrogen from those different elements in order to separate it and then utilize that hydrogen.
Okay. So can you give me an impression how difficult it is? Because it takes energy to create energy, right?
It does.
So just like with anything, if you're drilling, you know, for oil and converting it to fuel, you're doing a process to get hydrogen also.
We do.
Can you give me an impression of what is that like?
Yeah.
That process.
Yeah, it's a power intensive process. So if we talk about electrolysis, for example, that's a lot of people will say green hydrogen. Green hydrogen, it uses electrolysis to produce it. And so basically what you're doing is you're taking water with a large amount of electricity, running it through that electrolyzer, and what you're doing is you're actually cracking that water into its elements of oxygen and hydrogen. And then you're separating those two elements. And then what you're doing is you're going to store that hydrogen.
Yes.
Okay. And so then from there, you can take that hydrogen and you can either put it into supply trailers and run a unit like this. Or what you can do is take it then and further liquefy it, which adds a whole bunch of compression and a whole bunch of cooling, gets the hydrogen down to minus 400 Fahrenheit, so very, very chilled. And then, like that other unit across, that can then be stored as liquid hydrogen.
And then dispensed.
And then dispensed. Yeah. In both cases, we dispense gaseous hydrogen. So in this case, it's gaseous through the whole process.
Okay.
In the other case, it starts as a liquid, it goes through a heat exchanger, and then it'll come out of gas into the truck.
Yeah, and then what the fuel cell on board that the semi-truck does kind of reverses the process, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's kind of like a reverse electrolyzer.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
what it does is it reintroduces the oxygen to the hydrogen. You put those two things back together, and it creates that energy.
Yeah.
And so then you use that energy, you capture that in the batteries, and you use that then to...
You drive the truck.
As a propulsion
And then
system.
A little bit of water comes out.
As
exhaust.
And that's your tailpipe emission is water droplets. Yep.
Well, very cool. I think it's a pretty good overview. I mean, we were flying at a pretty high level, which is kind of what I wanted, right? But it's showing what's possible with mobile solutions, right? And, you know, like you said, interim solutions.
Interim solutions,
And so we can get, you know, some of this technology rolled out.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
So great to meet you.
As always, thanks for joining me on this episode of TFL Talking Trucks. I hope you learned as much as I have in this episode. And there's only one thing left to do. Actually take these trucks on the highway with really heavy trailers and really put them to the test. Thank you very much.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.